turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to use these verses to start off with. But we're going to go through time. There's time in your Bible. There's time relative to where we are here now. Everything is about time. And so we've got to cover time. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So then we see that Paul is talking about the hidden wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God hidden in a mystery. And there was a reason for God hiding this mystery that he had in his wisdom. There's a reason why this mystery was hidden. It says in verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Well, this mystery was for our glory. It's for us. And God hid the truth of it until he revealed it to the apostle Paul. And he says in verse 8 that none of the princes of this world knew. Well, who are the princes of this world? Well, it's the darkness. The power of darkness is Satan and all of the powers that be. It's that group that if they had known when Christ was here on the earth that having him crucified would have been for our sins, the Bible says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And this was a mystery. However, one of the things we're facing here today in this time is the challenge that Paul didn't receive this mystery, that it was given aforehand to Peter and the apostles and made known back during their ministry. That is not true, and that's what I want to prove. So, on the board, as we go there, we let the X here represent when Christ began his ministry to his crucifixion, his burial, and then he was raised up, and he met with the apostles for 40 days, and they had conversation. We're going to go into that. And after 40 days, he ascended up. Well, Peter then began in Acts 2, in Acts chapter 2, he begins a ministry. And basically the ministry was a continuation of what the Lord had over here in his earthly ministry. So I'm just going to put this parameter here to show the beginning of Acts 2. And then I'm going to go up to the end of Acts 8 or Acts 9, the beginning of Acts 9 here. So there's something working here. And then we'll cover the time as we go along in the Bible. So with that said, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, we're going to go through a lot of scripture and we're going to cover this quickly as possible. Probably Wednesday night study, we'll be going over this. It'll be a little bit slower. It'll be a little bit more in-depth and detail. But we'll probably be covering this and other things concerning this on Wednesday night here at church. 7 o'clock here at church. Wednesday night here at church. Just saying. Matthew 24. Did I tell you that? Matthew 24. Now, verse 15. The Lord speaking to the disciples here. "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains." And he tells them what to do when they see what? The abomination of desolation as spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. What is verse 15 about? Antichrist. It is the Antichrist. In other words, the Lord's ministry here is addressing the apostles here about the coming of the fulfillment of Daniel that wrote about the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition that was to come. So the Lord, in Matthew 24, that account, is telling them here, "when you therefore shall see the abomination." So they were expecting to see what? The Antichrist. Do you realize that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are books that are written for these people that were under the law, under the Lord, the disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written, or the teachings in them, the Lord training them in that in this time, was preparing them to go into the tribulation. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all about. That's why people, when they read these verses and the preacher preaches on it and doesn't tell them the context of what he's preaching about, that's why the verses don't make sense. That's why it's not applicable for today. So it's verses preparing them how to live during this time of Jacob's trouble, the abomination of desolation. So they were looking to go into 7 years of tribulation. That's what they're looking to go to. So all of the teaching here is to prep them for this time. You know what's ironic? Here we are in 2013. You look back in time. Did the abomination of desolation ever take place? It didn't. Did we ever go into the tribulation? No. But he told them here to look for it. In other words, prophetically, the time chart was the coming of the Messiah. He was presented to Israel. Israel rejected him. So he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So God forgave them. He gets raised up, meets with the apostles 40 days, tells them certain things. We'll go through some of those. And then he ascends up. So then, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, offers to Israel the Lord Jesus Christ because God has raised him up. And so they were planning then to get prepared to go into the time of the abomination of desolation or the tribulation. So they were looking to go into that time frame. But we look back from where we're at in 2013 over here, and it hadn't taken place. Well, is the Lord a liar? Is he confused? It should have gone that way. So now we're going to hold up with all I said and do some reading. Let's see some of the preparation that he gave them. Look in Matthew chapter 10. If you want to know why some of these things, when they're read to you, they just don't go along with the grace that was given to Paul, this is why. This is tribulation teaching that they were going to go through. Look in Matthew 10 as he prepares them. We're not going to read the entire chapter. It's just much too much to read. But look at some of the things I've picked out here. Like in Matthew 10, go to verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. So they're going to be delivered up and be beaten. Well, why are they going to have that done to them? Because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in, you're in Matthew 10, go to verse 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, they have to endure. What do they have to endure? The scourging they're going to go through. The persecution they're going to have to go through. Look over in verse 32. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You have anybody ever quote you that verse 33? They do it all the time. Well, that verse is not written for the dispensation of grace where we're living today. It's a tribulation verse. As these men go out carrying out the gospel of the kingdom, which they were to carry out, they're going to face great persecution. Why? Because they're going into the tribulation. And so consequently, the Lord here is preparing them for that time to come. And enduring the persecution, they're going to be beaten and put to death. And if a man who is a Christian that followed the Lord before his crucifixion or even after his crucifixion, if he was a believer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gets brought to the council and they're threatened to cut his head off or beat him to death probably, and he denies the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happens to that individual? God denies him. I never knew you. They won't be granted to go into the kingdom. It's conditional. Look in verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, if they're put to death here, then when the kingdom comes on this earth, what's going to happen? They're going to be resurrected up into the kingdom. Now, I put it out there for a reason. We'll see. But when they are crucified, they lose their life for his name's sake. They're going to find life. They're going to find eternal life in the kingdom. Why? Because they didn't deny the Lord Jesus Christ through the great persecution that Daniel was speaking about concerning the Antichrist that was to come. Here's the thing, though. Israel, as a nation, in order to go into that kingdom, as a nation, had to receive the Lord. They didn't receive him here, as I said before, as he hung on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He was buried, raised again, met with the apostles, ascended up. Acts chapter 2, Peter starts preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ to men of Israel. Therefore, Israel as a nation was reoffered, had the Lord reoffered to them where they could believe on them, on the Lord, and then go into the kingdom. That didn't happen. So let's look at a few things before I get too carried away here. Look in Luke chapter 24. What we want to look at in Luke 24, this is after the Lord has been resurrected and he's meeting with the apostles. In Luke 24, remember, we're talking about this point here. He's resurrected, 40 days, he's meeting with the apostles, and this is what he tells them. Verse 44, 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name above among all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. So then he opened their understanding. Why? Because there was writings by Moses, the prophets, and in the Psalms about the death of Jesus Christ, his burial, and his resurrection. So consequently, he opened their understanding to that. So then he could consequently have them understand the truth of what they're going to be preaching. What is that? Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So repentance and remission of sins. Let me ask you hypothetically, do you think that took place? Absolutely. Turn to Acts. Turn over to Acts and look in Acts chapter 2. Now, where we're reading now, the Lord has ascended from them, and now Peter comes on the scene in Acts 2. And Peter then begins his preaching in Acts chapter 2. Look in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. Where do you think he is at this point? His name will be preached beginning at what? Jerusalem. Be this known unto you and hearken to my word. We're not going to read all of chapter 2. Go down to verse 22. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So he tells them at the end of verse 23, what? You have taken and by wicked hands you crucified and slain the Lord of glory. You killed the Messiah. Men of Israel, he's at Jerusalem. He begins preaching there at Jerusalem. And he says, whom God hath raised up. So he's preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, this disturbs these men at Jerusalem to whom Peter's preaching to. Look in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why do you think they asked, what shall we do? Well, they were convicted in their heart about them killing the Lord, rejecting Him, putting Him to death. Because in the law of Moses, Moses wrote that if anyone sheds the innocent blood of man, his blood is required. In other words, Peter says, you killed him, and so they know by the law of Moses that the law demands that they be put to death. So they're like, so what do we do now? What can we do? And Peter tells them in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now it gets bannered around churches all the time, and they don't understand the concept of what Peter told them. The repent there is not him telling them, all right, guys, you need to straighten your lives up. You're going out, you're partying too much, you're cussing, you're lying, you're cheating, you're stealing, robbing, all that kind of stuff. You need to repent of all that. That's not what he's addressing there. He's addressing a people, the Jews at Jerusalem, that murdered the Lord because they thought evil of the man. They said when Pilate asked them, who is your king? What do you want me to do with your king, Jesus? They said, we have no king but Caesar. They denied Jesus Christ being their king. So Pilate said, what do you want me to do with him? They said, crucify him. In other words, it's their mindset about who the Lord was. So Peter says, repent. It's a change of your mind as to who the Lord was because you put him to death. But God has raised him from the dead, and I'm presenting him to you that if you repent your mindset towards the Lord and get baptized into his name, you will receive remission of sins. You know what remission is? It is to pardon. It's like an individual that commits a crime and he's got to serve 30 years. 25 years he served, he goes before the board, and the board hears his case, and they determine he served enough time. We're going to pardon him. In other words, he's not paying the penalty for that crime anymore. He's set free. That's the same implication with these here. They have the remission of sins pardoned from their sins, a consequence of their sins. Now, you will find very interestingly that Paul never uses or implies that our sins are in remission. Because that guy that just got pardoned, when he's set free, he's not set free to go out and do anything he wants to do. He goes out, he can commit any crime, and the consequence of committing that crime will fall upon him, and then he's locked back up. You understand? He's put back in jail for a crime when he was originally pardoned. This is important to understand the concept of remission. That it's a pardon. It's like cancer being in remission. They don't say you're clear of it. They go, we can't find it, but it's held in some type of abeyance, but you hold the particulars where it can resurge and come back and get you. Well, their sins could come back and get them, and I'm going to show you that shortly. But their sins have been pardoned, like the man that was pardoned, let free from prison. He's got to abide by the laws of the land. If he doesn't, if he breaks them, he can be arrested and put back into jail. So they have remission of sins. You remember in Luke 24? Turn back there real quick. What the Lord told them in Luke 24, after he was raised up and he met with them, after the Lord was resurrected, what did he tell them? In 47, Luke 24, 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. God wanted those Jews at Jerusalem turned first because that's the crew that had him put to death. So they were going to stay there and get those Jews converted. So when Peter preached there, there's a record there of 3,000. That's a lot of people in a sense, but as far as a nation of people, that's not many. There were 3,000 that repented and were baptized and received remission of sins at that point in time. There was, I think, 4,000 at a later point But there were some things that took place there that didn't allow it to go on. And that was the great persecution taking place as James was put to death by the sword, as Stephen was stoned to death. In other words, Israel rejected the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that these here, Peter and the apostles, were preaching at that time. So they were feeling the effects of that which the Lord warned them about, the great persecution. You being hated, and they shall scourge you. They'll put you to death. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father, and all these things. So they had, because of their repentance and baptism, they had remission of sins. Their sins were pardoned. I want to show you something else. Peter preached in 1 Peter, so hang a hard right. Go over to 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. So then, I'm going to reread this, and I won't damage the verse, but follow me. I'll read it slowly so you can follow me. We're going to read part of verse 18 and jump to 19. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see it? Yes or no? I mean, no, you don't. Liars, you bunch of Christians. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Were these people redeemed? Were these people redeemed? Okay. Yes, they were. Were they redeemed with corruptible things? Were they redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? There you go. Wake you up here. Redeemed. Now, the word redeemed means ransom or buy back. In other words, the blood of Christ bought them back to the Lord. So when they repented and got baptized, they received remission of sins, as in a pardon, and they were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, that all sounds good and fine, but we have to see what Hebrews has to say about this. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews 6, look in verse 4. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. He's addressing, the writer of Hebrews is addressing those that Peter preached to and got saved in those terms at that time in Acts chapter 2. Hebrews is addressing this bunch. What did he say? He said, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Made partakers. Who is he talking about? Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, and receive the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. And so he's addressing them. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. In other words, they repented once, came into the fold. If they turn from that, they cannot be, there's no other repentance for it once they turn. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. The Antichrist, there's a reason why he's deemed Antichrist. Because he is against who? Christ. There you go. So if you're a Christian, a believer in Christ at this time, would the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, be against you? Absolutely. So what is he going to do? He's going to go after these to kill them and put them under great tribulation. And if they deny the Lord will deny them. Once they deny the Lord, there is no more repentance there. By the way, the illustration of remission of sins is a pardon. You know, the guy that's set free, he doesn't fulfill his serving of the sentence, the original sentence. They received a remission of sins. However, they went out and committed an offense by denying the Lord that now there is no repentance of. There's no repentance now. And by the way, the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ does not apply to them anymore. In other words, everything that was presented on the table here in the doctrine of Peter, if they turn from the Lord, it's all off the table. Every bit of it. That's what Hebrews is writing about. That's why those that believe you can lose your salvation, they quickly go to Hebrews. You know why? Because it's about losing your salvation, but it's not about you losing your salvation. Why? Paul had a different message than Peter. Paul had a totally different message than Peter. Let's go back to 1 Peter since we're in the neighborhood. Hang the right. Go to chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver, gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So they were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Let me tell you, those that are espousing that Peter was preaching the same gospel as the Apostle Paul, they always seem to leave out verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Was God judging every man according to his work back then? You better believe it. Does God judge you according to your work?
Yes.
If you don't maintain the works that Jesus Christ ascribed to them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then he is going to reject you from going into the kingdom. They're not going to make it. The redemption by the blood of Christ will not be applied to them at that time. Why? Their sins are just in remission. They're being pardoned and have to maintain the works fit to go into the kingdom. Paul preached something a little bit different. Turn to Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, look in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. You realize that by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, God made you accepted in the beloved. These here had to maintain a work, a faithfulness, so that God would ultimately accept them. We don't maintain that for God to accept us. We're accepted where? In the beloved. Not our works. Not our works. It's by grace we've been saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. They had to maintain works for the remission to stay in place, and they had to maintain their works for the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to them. If they didn't maintain the faith, all of that's off. It's impossible to restore them, Hebrews says. Not with us. Matter of fact, read verse 7, something that sounds like Peter, but there's a little bit something he added in there. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Did Peter say they were redeemed by the blood of Christ? Did Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 that you were redeemed with the blood of Christ? Sure he did. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Oh, well, they must be the same. No, because Paul added something specific to his gospel. What is that? The forgiveness of sins. And folks, listen, if you haven't paid attention to me this morning, please do so for this closing announcement. Forgiveness of sin is not remission of sins. They're not the same. They're not. One is putting abeyance, a pardon on your sins, but ultimately can come back and, as they say, get you. Forgiveness is when you trust in Jesus Christ that He died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. God made you accepted in the blood, having forgiven you all sins. We're forgiven today. They're not in remission. God isn't holding our feet to some kind of fiery trial that these people have got to go through. Jesus Christ went through the fiery trial in our behalf and died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day so that we could sit here and claim we have eternal life. And once you hear that message of Christ dying for your sins, being buried and raised again, and have trusted in that, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Go find where Peter talked to them about being sealed. You can look till the day you die. You'll never find it. You know why? They weren't sealed unto the day of redemption. They weren't sealed. You're sealed. Say, well, that's, as preacher in San Antonio says, well, that's greasy grace. Well, if God had to use greasy grace to save us, then let it be greasy grace. You can describe it however you want. We call it amazing grace to have saved a wretch like me. Whoever wrote that song knew a thing or two about being saved and the kind of person they are and we are. So then, this thing fizzled out. Why did it die out? Because Israel began killing the apostles and God saw it. And thank God, He had another plan in Acts chapter 9 with a man named Saul who had his name changed to Paul and gave him the glorious gospel of Christ, which is Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day. So here we are out here, and this is where we're at. Started in Acts 9 with the salvation of Paul. I have 2013. I hope it ends in 2013. I was going to erase it. No, just for my own sanity, what's ever left of it, I'm going to leave it up there. Someday soon. But it's going to end, and for those of you that don't realize it, there's no specific day or time revealed as to when this age ends. It's an age of grace. What is that? Well, basically, we're all sinners, and we have no hope of getting to heaven. So what did God do? Took His Son, who knew no sin, and made Him to be sin for us. And He died for all of our sins, was buried, and God raised Him again for our justification. You know what justification is? It's being pronounced innocent. You know the illustration of remission I did earlier about the guy that did a crime, got sentenced, I'd use 30 years, but then was pardoned after 25 years? We are guilty before God. And we should pay. So, rather than have us pay for our sins, Christ died for our sins. That is the only reason why He came into this world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into this world to what? Save sinners. The only way He could do it is die on the cross for our sins, being buried and raised again the third day. Peter and them, their sins were in remission. They had redemption through the blood, but they had to maintain that faith through the great persecution. And they died, so they're buried. Those that didn't maintain the faith, boom, off they go. They go down to hell. Those that maintain the faith go into a place that's called Abraham's bosom. Don't have time to go into it. They're resting. The Lord in the future is going to come back and establish that kingdom out here in the future. And what are these that are in faith, that maintain the faith? What's going to happen to them? They're going to come up and go into that kingdom. Well, they were born by mama here. They died. They're going to be born again. Huh. Where do you find that? Born again into the kingdom. And that's when their sins will be forgiven. That's the new covenant. We don't have time for that. But in a nutshell, that's kind of the timeline there. Trust me, the age we're living in,
It can't be beat. And you ought to, if you're not going to acknowledge anything to God today, do one and just acknowledge the grace He had upon us that believe. Trust in the Lord. That's all He asks you to do. Examine yourself. Anything good about yourself? Nope. Nothing good. There are none that doeth good, no, not one. Therefore, trust in the Lord, believing He died for your sins, was buried and raised again, and all your sins are forgiven. That's what we have in Christ Jesus, and you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.